الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, undoubtedly one of the buzzwords and the topic of our conversations today is about the financial crisis that seems to be gripping parts of the world. Everyone seems to be worried, concerned with regard to it. Some people feel that yes, although it is happening somewhere, but it is bound to have some effect upon us. People are worried in various types of ways. Normally in the economic parlance, not necessarily that we believe in it as a principle, they say when America sneezes, the whole world catches a flu or a cold. Now what happens if America, in the economic sense, has a viral infection? What happens then to the world? As I said, this is what is said in the economic parlance. We don't necessarily have to believe in it, but this is what is made mention of. And of course, people on the ground, many of them who are involved in importing, they worried with regard to the dollar. Now what is going to be the price of dollar? Nowadays, all of a sudden, you want to know the rate of the dollar every half a day, even every few hours. Outside the masjid yesterday, day before yesterday, someone made the comment that very soon the dollar is going to go up to 11.50 or 12. So another brother said, don't even say like that in jest. Don't even say like that in jest. You know the repercussions with regard to it. Now people are concerned with regard to it. Therefore, let us look at some aspects with regard to it. One of the aspects is that it should cause us reflection. It should make us reflect over the whole situation, both on a macro and a micro level, both on a collective and an individual level. Many people will say, what do we have to do with it on an individual level? It is something to do with world economics, but no, it has much to do with it. You and I, many a times, with regard to monetary matters and dealings, we adopt a very lackadaisical attitude. We don't give it the importance that it deserves. Many a times it seems when we talk about monetary matters from the Shari point of view, we tend to take an attitude that is reflective of a tribe in the past that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed because of the lack of integrity and honesty in monetary dealings. When Allah ta'ala told the tribe of Shuaib alayhi salatu wa salam, through the means of the Prophet, that, you know, don't weigh less and measure less in mischief. What did they tell Shuaib alayhi salatu wasalam? As-salatuka ta'muruka an natruka ma ya'budu aba'una aw an naf'ala fi amwalina ma nasha. Oh Shuaib, does your salat, does your piety tell us how we must deal with our wealth? You know, our wealth, we will deal with it how we want. Don't tell us how to deal with our wealth. And many a times we seem that this is the attitude. When we talk about monetary matters, the attitude is, but what is it to deal with monetary matters? The whole concept of monetary matters is how I can make maximum profit. Don't tell me anything more than that. That is the bottom line. How can I make maximum profit? But no, there is more than that. In our Sharia, there is morality in dealings. There is morality in ethics. There is morality in our transactions. It is a sobering thought. It's a sobering thought that the longest ayat in the Holy Quran is not to do with salat, zakat, hajj, etc. Not that these are not important, but the longest ayat in the Holy Quran has got to do with financial dealings. How do you transact with one another? When you give someone a loan, see to it that you have two witnesses. The ayat, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamma, faktubuh. When you give someone a loan, see to it that you write it. Then 1 1/4 page of the Quran is to do with financial dealings, the longest ayat in the Holy Quran. Now, this particular financial crunch should start making us think that we should make our monetary dealings according to the Sharia. Has everything been written? Has the people whom we are owing, the people whom we are borrowing, we have borrowed from, is it recorded? Are there witnesses to it? This should make us reflect. And that is what I'm talking about, reflection on a micro level. On a macro level, yes, it has started bringing us to reflection. We all know that some years back, the Japanese-American Francis Fukuyama, he had written a book by the name of The End of Time, The End of History, in which he had said that democracy as a political system and the freedom of market, and capitalism as an economic system has become so dominant that that is going to dominate over all other isms and ideologies. No other ism and ideology, no other system is in any way going to contend and to compete with the system. Now, all of a sudden, those people who are the protagonists of the system, they are all of a sudden, they are asking questions that, is it so? Is this the end of time? Can there be a more better alternative? And yes, there is a better alternative. The unfortunate reality with regard to the better alternative, you and I, who can provide that particular better alternative, we are sleeping. We are neglectful. We have not been able to show the world the true alternative that is according to morality, according to ethics, according to the law of Almighty Allah. There is not one Muslim country, not one Muslim institution that can able to fill this vacuum and be able to say, here is a solution. We have a workable solution. No one has been able to do so. Whether it be the ulama, whether it be the economist, whether it be the general Muslim ummah, in many ways we have failed our traditions. We have failed our legacy. We have failed the teachings of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because we are so busy fighting with one another that we have not been able to show the people in a productive way the true system and the viable system that is according to our Sharia. But that is another particular matter. Of course, one of the aspects that is related to this matter is the aspect of interest and riba. Now, there are many other aspects, also with regard to inflation, with regard to contentment, with regard to consumption. But just a month or so back, I spoke about inflation and I spoke on these matters. So therefore, I'm going to, inshallah, concentrate on the aspect of riba and interest. And this will show the beauty and the wisdom of the Islamic system, that how Islam has spoken against it. And today we are seeing the wisdom that is coming to the fore. We are all aware that when we talk about interest, the normal definition with regard to it is kullu ziyadatin la yuqabiluha iwad. You know, interest is defined as something added in making a return, something more than what it is due. So you give a loan to someone and you demand that when he gives it back, he gives you more than what is due. Now, this is the definition from the Shari'i point of view. Now, while the modern economy makes certain distinctions, and unfortunately some, you know, scholars, overawed by the Western financial system, they also try and make a distinction from the ideal Islamic definition. They say there is a difference between interest and usury, and there is a difference between consumptional interest and productive interest. What they mean is, you know, interest is haram. It's interest is, from the legal point of view, South African law also says, interest is legal, usury is not legal. Interest is, if it is below a particular percentage, and I think subject to correction, with regard to the South African system, it is something like 33.25%. If your interest is below that, it is legal. From the legal, quote-unquote, legal point of view, and more than that, it is usury, which is not legal from the South African legal system. From us, there is no difference Islamically between 1% or 34%. It is both haram. And all the same warnings which are there for 1% applies to the one that is 34% interest. The other type of difference sometimes people make is that they say, no, riba is wrong when it is for consumption purpose. When a person is borrowing for the sake of consumption, for the sake of meeting his day-to-day needs, that is wrong. Because you are taking advantage of a person who needs money and needs capital for the sake of his daily needs. So therefore, if you loan him something and he uses it for him to demand more from him, it is wrong, it is unjust, it is exploiting the person. But when it is for the sake of production, he is borrowing it because he wants to advance his business. And when he takes the money, he benefits from it. He also makes a profit. So when he makes a profit, it is reasonable for him to pay interest to the lender whose capital has allowed him to make the profit. Islam says no. Whether it be for consumption purpose, whether it be for productive purposes, both are haram. It is haram whether you see, in this particular notion, I gave it to someone, he agreed upon it, therefore it is permissible for me. This is a wrong notion. You see, mutual consent doesn't make a wrong thing right. Mutual consent doesn't make a thing right. So if two people are doing a wrong, even if they agree upon that wrong, doesn't mean it's right. If two people are committing zina and they agree upon it, does it make it right? So if two people, many times people say, I loaned him and he was prepared to accept the interest. So it doesn't make it right, because Islam doesn't look at your two people's interests. It looks at the wider interests of the community and society. So when there is mutual consent, it doesn't make things right. So in Islam, the basic thing is, kullu qarzin jar'a naf'a fa huwa riba. Every loan that you give and you benefit from that loan, it is haram, it is riba. You are not supposed to benefit from a loan. Money in Islam is supposed to facilitate exchange. You buy something, you give someone, and you buy something in return. Money is not there to make a profit. You make a profit through the market. You make a profit through other ways. Money itself is a use to facilitate exchange. Now, that is why every benefit that accrues to you through the means of a loan, it is riba. It is haram. That doesn't mean in Islam it is haram to make a profit. By all means, you can make a profit. And by all means, you can increase your wealth. But loan is not the vehicle for profit. Go into a partnership agreement with someone. He says, I got a wonderful concept. Yes, I will give you the loan, but I will share the risk with you. You will not only, you know, you will not only walk, you will not only talk the talk, you will walk the walk. You will tell him, I'm prepared to give you the money. I'm also prepared to be in it with you. I will share in the profit and I will share in the loss. So you take the risk together with giving. Just not giving him and said, I'm going to take a profit from my money, irrespective of what happens to you. So a loan is not a vehicle for profit. That is why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, "Kullu qarzin jarra naf'a fa huwa riba." Each and every loan that you take a benefit from, it is riba. So much so, there's a hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you give a person a loan, and you give the debtor gives you conveyance. He gives you a lift. And normally, prior to that, you didn't have that type of relationship. Don't even take that conveyance. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, when he used to give anyone a loan, then he shouldn't even walk in the shade of his house. He shouldn't even walk in the shade of his house saying, I don't want people to say that because I gave him a loan, I'm taking advantage, I'm walking by the shade of his house. He used to stay away from walking in the shade of his house. So loan is a completely different thing. Firstly, the person who borrows is not supposed to borrow but for important issues, until it's a need and necessity. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua to Almighty Allah. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from kufr and deen, from disbelief and debt. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was very perceptive. Ya Rasulullah, are you making and asking Allah's protection from loan together with kufr? I can understand this. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, Aisha, when a person takes a loan, he borrows money, then he becomes morally vulnerable. When he speaks a lie. And when he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. How many times have we seen the truth of the statement of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You tell a person, next week I'll pay you, and next week comes, months come, you don't pay the person. How many times you tell a person, the check is in the post, and never mind in the post, you haven't still made it out. How many times you forget to append the second signature when you know there are two signatures required for the check? How many times have we seen this happening in transaction in business? Loan makes a person morally vulnerable. So don't go and take it unless you have a need and a dire necessity for it. On the other hand, for a person who is giving it, the lender, he in Islam is that you are not supposed to take advantage of a person. If a person comes to you and is a genuine need, then forward him a loan with the intention of reward from Almighty Allah. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, if you give a loan to a person who is in need, it is even more rewarding than charity. There's a hadith which says that Maulana Manzoor Nomani has made mention in Ma'arif al-Hadith. He says that it is written on the doors of Jannah that a person who gives charity, it is multiplied 10 times. But if you forward a loan with the intention of helping a person to come up, it is rewarded 18 times. So a loan from a lender is not with the intention of making a profit. And for the person who is borrowing, it is not there unless it is a dire need and necessity. So that after we understand that, now we go to the next step, that you are not supposed to benefit from a loan. Loan is supposed to be given for the sake of reward and for the sake of helping a person. A person who borrows only does it in dire need and necessity. Now, anything that is more than that, it is riba. And this particular riba and interest, it is something that is disgrace in the whole annals of history. You know, many people have spoken about it. The Greek poet, philosopher, Aristotle has spoken about it. The Bible speaks about it. Unfortunately, today, Christianity don't know with regard to the hurmat or the prohibition. It is only the Muslims and Islam who speaks about the hurmat and the prohibition with regard to it. You know, it is only today that the bank manager has become someone who is supposed to be respected. Otherwise, normally, in history, a person who is a lender, and we know about Sherlock and Atsotra, all those type of things, people know more better than I. We know that how a person who was a lender, how he was looked upon in society, not with any form of respect.